Good morning. I'd like to talk to you for just a few minutes about gratitude. It's probably a somewhat expected topic this time of year. We're just wrapping up the holiday season. And I'm sure that yesterday a lot of you said thank you. I'm sure parents spent a great deal of time reminding the young ones to say thank you. You spent time calling up loved ones to say thank you, or writing cards if you're that old school. I will admit I'm not that old school. We don't write thank you cards. It seems to be a lost art. But what about the grown-ups? Did you remember to say thank you yourself? I'm standing here now and I'm thinking, I probably should have thought this through before I did that, because I'm not sure I did to everybody. I think I did, but I don't know. But I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of months, and for the past year, actually. But what does it look like when you don't? What does it look like when you don't say thank you? I'd like to talk a little bit about ingratitude, actually. Not so much gratitude. You know, it's often associated with unkindness, but that's not really the case. If you look at a thesaurus, it actually, I think, gives you a better idea of what ingratitude really is. It is simply a lack of gratitude. It is thanklessness, lack of appreciation, non-recognition. And I think these synonyms give it a really good definition. I think ingratitude has two parts. I think it has a lack of feeling grateful, which is obviously not a good thing, but I don't really want to spend a whole lot of time on that this morning. But also a lack of communicating gratitude, which is what I really want to focus on. What does it look like when gratitude goes uncommunicated? In most single instances of ingratitude that you encounter are no big deal, right? If a child forgot to say thank you for a present yesterday, was that a huge deal? I don't think it was, right? If you go up and you interact with someone else in your life and you forget to say thank you, they can probably excuse it, brush it off. Oh, you know, they were just excited or whatever. And we've all come up with those excuses in our heads, I think, many, many times. You may have not even noticed it, actually. It may be such a small thing in any individual instance that it's not actually something you notice. The real problem is what happens over time. What happens with people you have a relationship with. What happens when those ingratitudes build up. It creates a gap in the relationship. There's this unfilled space where all the gratitude is supposed to go, and it's not there, and nothing's there, and that leads to a widening gap that you really can't excuse anymore, and it starts to build up. I think we've all felt this with our spouse, and if you haven't, then you're probably the one guilty of it. I know from time to time that's been me. I'll admit that. Hillary's laughing a little too hard. But as that gap widens, you can't excuse it anymore. And that silence, that gap, it isn't neutral. It's negative. Right? And as I say it out loud, it's obvious it's negative. But oftentimes we don't think that way in our day-to-day lives. And over time, it's going to degrade that relationship, whether it's a spouse or a friend or a coworker or a fellow Christian. The worst part about that, about this ingratitude piece between two individuals, the worst part is that only one person notices. The person who is injured, the injured party, they see it. They certainly see it. Sometimes that's all they can see. And they can see that widening gap, the silence is piling up, but that doesn't even make sense. They can see all that. But the culprit, the ungrateful one, does he ever notice? Or she ever notice? I mean, let's face it, it's probably most likely a man in a lot of ways. But, you know, both genders can have their issues. Maybe they're too self-absorbed, or they just don't even realize it, right? Maybe they're a little thoughtless. Certainly, some of us are more intentioned than others. But this only makes it worse. Because the injured party not only sees the ingratitude, but they see the fact that it's not even purposeful, which means you want to excuse it, but it keeps building up and growing and growing. And what recourse does the injured party have? Are you really going to bring it up? hey, a little thank you every now and then wouldn't hurt, right? It sounds childish. It sounds impetuous. It sounds like you need affirmations all the time. You're going to sound petty, or you're going to sound like their parent. None of those things are very good things in any kind of relationship unless you actually are their parent. It's really hard to point out. The culprit's likely to get defensive, aren't they? They're likely to say, but I am grateful. Or hey, you're judging me. You're assuming you know what's in my heart. Which actually gets to the crux of the problem. Unexpressed gratitude is received as ingratitude to the other party. How are they going to know unless you say it? So far, this is all just truisms. This is pop psychology. You know, this is nonsense, right? I think it's all true, but it's not Bible study. So turn with me to Luke. Luke 17. I want to read the passage of Jesus and the 10 lepers. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Excuse me. So there are 10 lepers. They call out to Jesus. And Jesus says, yeah, go see the priest. He doesn't even say, I'm going to heal you. He just says, go see the priest. And if you remember your Old Testament at all, this was kind of a thing you had to go do. If you were healed of some sort of skin disease, some sort of leprosy, you had to go to the priest and he had to prove, actually inspect you to make sure you were really healed and could come back into the camp. Make sure you could come back in to be among the people. Otherwise, you would spread, a pretty, pretty awful disease. And so that's what he tells him to go do. And so one leper, as he's walking towards the priest, who knows how far away this priest was, one leper looks down and goes, oh, I'm healed. And he turns around, he runs back, and he's praising all the way. And he lays down at Jesus' feet, kneels down at Jesus' feet, and thanks him. This man obviously had gratitude and expressed his gratitude. But I really want to focus on the other 9. Is there any chance in the world that the other 9 weren't grateful? You have a disease that is a death sentence. It rips you away from your family, from your job, from your community. You are an outcast forever. You don't normally get healed of this kind of thing, right? Jesus can only go so far around the countryside healing people. You're a dead man walking. It's going to be painful, excruciating, and emotionally draining. Your life is over, and you're just waiting to die. How could those 9 people not be grateful? Of course they're grateful. Jesus doesn't call them out for their lack of gratitude. He calls them out for not returning to express their gratitude and to praise God for it. And, worse yet, of course, Jesus has to be a Samaritan, doesn't it? It just has to be a Samaritan. Again, Jesus is always using Samaritans as examples of what to be like and kind of, rubbing the Jews' face in it. And as if this wasn't enough, the Psalms are full of thanksgiving. If you just turn to one Psalm with me, Psalm 28. Sorry, Psalm 30, just another page over, hopefully. Psalm 30, David and others, they write about gratitude constantly. And I just want to read Psalm 30 really quickly to drive the point home. Verse 1, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life. Among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This is a song about joy and about giving praise to God. And there's a couple of different ways he talks about that. But if you notice, every single time it's active. It's not passive. It's not about having thankfulness. It's about giving thanks. You know, one of the verbs that's used most often in this is translated give thanks in most translations. And it says, it means to laud or to praise or to confess. The word also is used to shoot an arrow. How can you shoot someone with an arrow and them not know it? It's definitely an active thing. The other one, verse 1, my translation says extol, to praise, to lift up on high, to set up on high. Can you pick someone up without them knowing? These are ideas about doing, not about feeling. So in conclusion, to wrap this up, someone once wrote, motivational speaker, he wrote that gratitude is a muscle. And I like that idea. Use it and you'll feel and express more gratitude, right? The more you use it, the more you can use it. That makes obvious sense to us. And who wouldn't want to feel more grateful to God and to others in your life? Ignore it and you will stop expressing it and eventually even stop feeling it. You'll be ungrateful. You might even be entitled. We've seen relationships get to the point where someone feels entitled, right? No. You owe me dinner. You owe me picking up the kids or whatever the chore may be or whatever the thing may be. We shouldn't feel like we're owed something. That's the opposite of gratitude. The Bible makes it abundantly clear how to maintain our relationship with God, and gratitude is one of those things, very clearly, I think. And why wouldn't you pattern not just your relationship with God after this, but also all of your relationships after this? And finally, giving thanks is proof of our gratitude. It occurred to me that this is the exact same way that we talk, or the Bible, talks about faith and works. If you remember James 2, faith without works is dead. You know, show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Yeah, I butchered that, but that's the idea. No one can see your heart. You have to express your heart. And that is what works are supposed to be. We are not saved by our works, but our works prove our faith. By the same token, our expressed gratitude, the things that we say, the things that we do to express gratitude, prove our gratitude, both to our loved ones and to God. So, be like the Samaritan. He turned around. He could have started his new life. He could have gone back to his family. He could have done any number of things. He could have shown off to everybody that he was healed and he was allowed back in. But he took the time, however long that distance was, to go back and find Jesus. It's not like he stood there waiting. To go back and find Jesus and to thank him. And we should give thanks to God and to all those around us for all the good things that they do. I'm very thankful to God for all that he has done for me. I am thankful that I heard his words and that I believe them and responded to that. And I try and live a life of gratefulness. I try and live a life that is thankful to all that God has done for me every day of my life. I'm not perfect at that. I fail, you know, frequently enough. You have that time now. If you know what to do, And if you're thankful to God for what He has done for you, if you realize what He has done for you, you can come be baptized with Him right now. And you can begin a walk, a life patterned like Jesus, who was grateful for all that His Father had done and expressed that thanks often. And He lived a life of service, not His own will, but God's will. If there's anything we can do for you spiritually at this time, we'd ask you to come as we stand and as we sing.